Hello, this is Ross Conrad, and I'll be reading to you my article as it appears in the July issue of Bee Culture magazine. The title of the article is The Brave New World of Beekeeping Created by Our Climate Emergency, Part 2. Last month, in Part 1 of this article, we looked at the impacts the growing climate crisis is having on honeybees and the beekeeping industry. This month, we'll explore some of the things beekeepers might be able to do to limit the damage and harm the growing climate crisis is inflicting upon our industry. The following can be thought of as the start of a beekeeper's climate response toolbox, and should start with the cultivation of flexibility, resourcefulness, and resiliency. In order to survive the growing crisis, we're going to have to be flexible. This means being willing to let go of long-held past beliefs and actions when appropriate, and not always automatically proceeding as we might have previously. Hive manipulations will need to become based on local weather and geographical conditions, and the status of plant development in the region, rather than by the calendar. Beekeepers are also going to have to get used to the idea that some of the things they are used to doing will have to be abandoned, and new approaches will need to be adopted if we are to have a chance of successfully navigating our destabilized climate. We have no choice but to do all we can to stay on top of the rapidly changing world around us. The more sources of accurate information, ideas, and management options, the faster we will be able to adjust to overcome challenges and difficulties. We will all want to build as much resiliency into our beekeeping as we can by having backup plans for all critical systems in our operations. Such things as having a backup power source or access to manual tools and equipment should electricity become unavailable is a good place to start. Cultivating additional sources for critical inputs like bees and queens, honey jars, labels, treatments, and woodenware can make the difference between being able to stay in business or having to close up shop. Colonies need to maintain a temperature between 93 and 95 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 34 to 35 degrees Celsius, in the brood nest. As the planet continues to heat up, we beekeepers will have to pay greater attention to preventing hives from overheating. Ventilation is one of the easiest ways to help cool honeybee colonies. Whether it's an upper entrance, an open screen bottom board, a solar-powered hive ventilator, or simply lifting the outer cover and moving it back a little so the front edge rests on the lip of the inner cover and allows air to flow up out of the top of the hive, increased ventilation provides relief for colonies on hot days. Painting hives white and using wooden migratory-style outer covers instead of metal-clad telescoping covers that heat up in the sun also help. When possible, planning apiary locations so hives are shaded from the sun, especially during the afternoon, which is typically the warmest time of day, will go a long way in preventing colonies from overheating even in the hottest locations. Excessive heat is not the only threat of rapidly rising global temperatures. We can also expect winters to be warmer than they have been historically. We know that when a queen's egg laying and a colony's brood production proceeds through the entire winter, the additional nutritional requirements are considerable. Beekeepers used to maintaining colonies that shut down their brood production to conserve food during winter will have to adjust. This means that when preparing colonies for winter, the amount of supplemental food provided by the beekeeper to address these new conditions and prevent starvation will have to be modified. Without regular winter monitoring during this transition, beekeepers are unlikely to be aware of this change in their colonies' overwintering needs until food reserves are depleted and the bees are dead. Honeybee colonies have proven their ability to survive when temperatures reach well above 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 38 degrees Celsius, as long as they can collect water and and spread it throughout the hive to harness the cooling action of evaporation. Making sure colonies have access to water throughout the year will support the bees' natural instincts for self-help in keeping their hive comfortable when temperatures soar. Ensuring adequate water access for bees will alleviate the colony's water needs during drought conditions. Unfortunately, there is typically little beekeepers can do to address the water requirements of the plants the bees rely on for food. Without adequate rain, plants often do not have access to enough moisture in the ground to produce nectar. Drought can also cause the quality of the pollen plants produce to decrease significantly. Beekeepers have grown accustomed to feeding colonies sugar in order to make up for a lack of nectar. Unfortunately, human carbohydrate feeding of honeybees is not associated with strong and healthy honeybee immune response, which can result in increased vulnerability to hive diseases. Rather than have to feed an artificial diet on a regular basis, beekeepers in areas experiencing severe water scarcity might have to consider moving apiaries to wetter locations where natural forage is more abundant. Moving colonies out of drought areas mimics what African bees naturally do during the dry season. The degradation of pollen during drought conditions, combined with the lowering of pollen's protein content from increased atmospheric carbon dioxide, may well mean that the regular supplemental feeding of protein to honeybee colonies will become a standard hive management practice in the future. This will present additional challenges for beekeepers working in northern areas, as long as temperatures continue to allow colonies to go dormant during winter. Northern beekeepers will have to be sure any protein supplements they use support beneficial bacterial growth and fermentation. Otherwise, the bees won't be able to preserve the supplemental protein in the hive like they do with natural pollen. Failure to attend to this detail may result in serious nutritional deficiencies and lead to an increase in weak and dead colonies come spring. Another hazard associated with drought conditions is the threat of wildfire. The best the beekeeper can do to mitigate this hazard is to keep apiaries and their immediate surrounding areas free from as much vegetation and other flammable fuel sources as possible. One way to accomplish this is by situating apiaries on old concrete foundations and keeping surrounding vegetation trimmed and cleared away. Even more difficult is adjusting to the hazardous air quality caused by the smoke from wildfires. This danger can make things especially difficult for beekeeper health while working outside in the bee yard and make it downright impossible for those with asthma or other respiratory challenges to tend to their colonies. Increased extreme precipitation events and storm surges are predicted for many areas, especially the northeastern United States. To address the threat of floodwaters, keep apiaries well away from sources of surface water or up on high ground. Securely anchored elevated hive stands can be a good stand-in for locations where avoidance and high ground are not possible. Stronger tropical storms, along with typhoons, tornadoes, hurricanes, and cyclones, can lead to devastating wind damage. While not much can be done to survive unscathed from a direct hit of a severe wind event, such as a twister, preparations can be made that can reduce the level of damage sustained from less severe winds. This includes providing sturdy and durable windbreaks, securing outer covers, and anchoring hives down in some way. Apiaries positioned in open clearings are preferred, since those situated near large trees have the increased risk of being damaged by uprooted, broken, and falling trees and limbs. The warming climate can also be expected to disrupt the ability of plants to be able to attract pollinators. certain plants have developed the ability to heat themselves up so the aromatic compounds in their nectar and pollen are given off in greater concentrations in order to help attract more bees and pollinators. This evolutionary development allows these plants to compete against all the other plants that are also seeking pollinator services. Unfortunately, this unique approach to attracting pollinators is threatened when the number of days when temperatures are cool decrease, negating the advantage of botanical thermogenesis. Honey production facilities are often vulnerable to fire and wind damage. Meanwhile, floods can not only destroy a honey house, but can tear up access roads and bridges, destroy farmers' fields and wipe out crops, prevent the shipment and delivery of goods, overrun our water treatment plants, and on and on and on. There are other areas of related concern, too numerous to mention here. The total costs imposed on society for all of this, including medical expenses, are going through the roof. While insurance can help, the dramatic increase in the cost of insurance claims in the past decade is causing many insurance companies to greatly increase their rates and even stop providing coverage altogether in the most disaster-prone areas. If we continue to burn fossil fuels, the economic costs to all of us will be beyond staggering. In an effort to preserve their profits for as long as possible, fossil fuel industry lobbying and influence has convinced various organizations and government entities to ban their employees from talking about the problem. Many have even gone so far as to ban the use of the words climate change and global warming in speech, print, and websites. This is part of industry's effort to delay societal action designed to address our worsening situation. If people and their representatives don't hear anyone talking about the issue, they tend to assume that it is not as bad as they think it is. Therefore, they don't talk about it either, and policymakers don't hear people's concerns, so they give the issue low priority. This prevents progress on solutions, which leads to the climate crisis getting worse. Meanwhile, many political and media personalities claim that we will just adapt to the new reality of our situation. Such reassurances are false, misleading, and ultimately extremely dangerous, as they can lull us into thinking that we can simply adjust and live with the climate crisis. Beekeepers understand that if they use the same synthetic chemical mite treatment every year, mites will quickly develop resistance to the treatment. To prevent the ability of mites to adapt and build resistance, it is important to use different chemical treatments throughout the season, or at least annually. Diversifying treatments keeps the internal hive environment chemically destabilized and constantly changing, making it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the mites to develop resistance. The same principle applies to our ability to adapt to a destabilized climate. Until we stop adding significant amounts of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, the climate will not become stable enough for us to be able to actually adapt to a new normal. This is simply because until we stop burning fossil fuels, there is no normal climate. Just a constantly changing one. The best we are going to be able to do is simply react to the latest disaster the best we can, hope to recover, and then pray we will have enough resources remaining to react and recover again to the next crisis, and so on. As beekeepers, we need to prepare as best we can to confront a much more chaotic and difficult future. That's The View from the Apiary. And this is Ross Conrad. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen and for reading and subscribing to Bee Culture Magazine.